6.4, claims for relief, causes of action. Basically, those are synonyms. They mean the same thing. Sometimes the section of the complaint that lays out the allegations against the defendant are called claims for relief. Sometimes it's called cause of action. This section of the book actually helps you find the legal reasons to sue. In most cases, you're going to be dealing with a tort in order to sue, or a negligent tort, or a contract, intentional tort, negligent tort, or a contract issue. So use those as guidelines for the foundation of your case. Now remember, you, as I said in the last section, you don't have to prove your case, but you do want to lay out enough of a reason so that the court can say, yes, if everything you allege in your complaint is eventually proven at trial, that yes, you do deserve damages. That's called, do you know what that's called? Wait for it. A prima facie case. You have to have a prima facie case. It doesn't mean you've won the case or you've convinced anybody. You don't present evidence here, but it means that you've set forth allegations that, if they are proven true, means that you will or you should be awarded damages. The three-step cause of action that we mentioned in the previous section is where this comes in. So your first step in the three-step cause of action is an incorporation paragraph. Basically, it's saying plaintiff hereby incorporates all paragraphs from 1 through 6, however many there were previous to this one, as though they were fully stated herein, period. Again, it's just however many causes you have, you always incorporate the previous paragraphs into this new one. So on your second set cause of action, it'll be paragraphs 1 through 9. On the third one, 1 through 12. Again, I'm making up these numbers because I don't know how many paragraphs you will have had in your general allegations or introductory section. But that's the incorporation paragraph. Very easy. Just use the examples you've been provided. The second step is to establish the cause claimed. You link the previously stated actions of the defendant with the cause of action. You say the defendant's actions in the above stated paragraphs constitute negligence per se. You don't have to argue it. You don't have to try to prove it. You don't have to give your reasoning even. You just have to allege it. And the third step, you always have to allege damages. You allege damages as the result of that cause of action. Plaintiff alleges that through defendant's actions, certain damages were realized by the plaintiff. And that's it. Then you go on to the second cause of action, third cause of action, fourth cause of action. However many you have, you walk through those three steps. Again, it's just a beautiful system. It's powerful because you've covered your bases in terms of what's expected by the court. I don't know of any jurisdiction where this would not be an acceptable form of a complaint. It also then makes it easier for you because the pressure is off to try to ask yourself, oh, did I, in whatever paragraph, did I make sure to allege damages somewhere? Did I allege the cause? You can go into more a little more detail if you want, but the detail usually is going to be within the general allegations, not within the actual causes of action. It's a powerful system. And again, it's one of those things, makes your life simpler, and the end product definitely more powerful.